Welcome back, San Antonio Spurs fans. This is Nomagaro George, and you are listening to the At The Line podcast. As always, I'm joined by Mac Pena and Ty Yeager. How are y'all doing today, guys?
Doing good.
Fantastic.
Hey, for once, I can't mess up your name since I'm not the one saying it.
That is very true. But let's get down to business. Let's talk about the San Antonio Spurs. Our Spurs are 2-3 through the first five games of the season. What do y'all think so far? I mean, they've played Memphis, Toronto, New Orleans, and they just had a back-to-back with the Lakers. What do we think of this team so far?
You can go ahead, Ty. I'll let you take this one.
All right. So I was going to say that it's kind of a mixed bag at the moment with how the Spurs are looking. On one hand, they still have a lot of things that they really need to work out the kinks with. They need to improve some transition defense. We did see that in the final game, but there's some things that this team still needs to improve. But on the other hand, there's some really good things that this team is showing that compared to last season, this is a far better team in so many different aspects. And just to add on a cherry to the top of keeping a six-point game against the Lakers on Friday night, even with horrible reffing on the last 2 minutes, I give the Spurs a plus in how they played that night. Even if it was a loss, there were some very encouraging things in the game as a whole. So I'm really excited for what this team can do, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'll kind of piggyback off of that. I wouldn't necessarily say that yesterday's outing was an A plus, but I definitely think you see a lot more fight from this team that you didn't see last year. Not only the aggression, but also just the tenacity that the players are playing with. It's night and day from what we saw last year. Now I think that with going against Memphis, with going against Toronto, I mean, we saw them look pretty good. I mean, that was probably, especially the Toronto game, everybody thought the Toronto game was gonna, you know, chalk it up to a loss. But going against one of the better Eastern Conference teams, or at least on paper, everybody thought Toronto was gonna be pretty good. I know they've kind of fizzled out a little bit also. But seeing them go against Toronto and them looking pretty damn good, I think that was a great kind of litmus test of where they should be. And then against the Lakers, I mean, you have the top one player in the league, and then another top, you know, three or five. So it's kind of like you kind of can't. It's always hard to kind of gauge your team against a team like the Lakers because they're just so damn good. You know, you can't necessarily say you can never say, oh well, you know, this is how we should, or this team is doing horrible because, you know, they lost against the Lakers twice. Yeah, every team loses against the Lakers twice, or like most teams lose against the Lakers twice. That's why they're the NBA champions. You know, that's why they have some of the two best players in the league right now. And even their supporting core, or their supporting players are still pretty damn good. Like Wes Matthews could not miss, you know, that first game that they went against him. So it's always hard to gauge the team when they're going against, you know, the best team in the league. And so even then, but I do agree with Ty, they did a hell of a job continuing to fight. Even in that first game against the Lakers, we saw them get stomped in the first quarter. And then, you know, once Becky came in, they I think they were only down for the next three quarters, they were only down like 6 points. So we saw them continue to fight each quarter for them to try to come back and actually make it a game.
One of the things that just overall looking at the Spurs team in the past two games is that if they can be competitive against the Lakers like they were, specifically looking at Friday night, they can be competitive with the rest of the league.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with both of you. You know, I think I'm a little bit lower on the Spurs than y'all are, you know, coming into the season. But I love what I saw against Los Angeles. Yes, they lost both games. You know, they didn't execute down the stretch of this previous game. And the one before, you know, they lost by double digits. But one thing that was different, like Max said, is this team fought. You know, a year ago, we probably would have seen Marco Bellinelli, Bryn Forbes in the fourth quarter. Defensively, that's not a great combo. And we've already seen how this team can improve without them. And, you know, I'm just excited to see what else they can do. And their next five opponents, you know, it's Utah, the Clippers, the Lakers again, unfortunately, and then the Timberwolves twice. And I kind of think they may be able to post a similar record. You know, I think they're probably going to go 2-3, maybe 3-2, so maybe break even. And I think a lot of this has to do with this young core. We've seen them running. We've seen them gunning. Just great stuff. Overall, really encouraging. DeJounte, Lonnie, and Keldon, they've started every game. That's not something that we saw last season. Yep. Jakob's getting some run with LMA sidelined. We've seen Devin Vassell play 10-plus minutes in every game, except for last night, but I don't really think that was too surprising. You know, have y'all also noticed that this young core is not only getting run, but really making the most of their opportunities so far?
Yeah, right now, and if you look at the minutes per game, Lonnie, Keldon, and DeJounte are all averaging over 30 minutes a game. And that's what you need in a youth movement. Some people are going to say that, oh, how is it, can it be a youth movement when you have four veterans in DeMar DeRozan, Patty Mills, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Rudy Gay running out there? It's like, you're getting the majority of your young guys playing. You're still getting DeJounte Murray out there, who has been outstanding with the way that he's scoring, the way that he's getting his teammates involved, and of just being a triple-double machine in general. Keldon Johnson bodying everyone possible, being aggressive out there. Lonnie Walker, I still think that he can elevate his game even further, but the way that he's becoming a bit of a spark plug, that he's getting involved in the game, I really like what he can do. And with Derek White coming back, you just add on another defensive guru out there who can light it up from deep too, now, especially if you look at his play from the bubble. But this team was actually looking pretty good. They went 2-2 without Derek, and then they went 0-1 with Derek, but that's also Derek on limited minutes. But you're getting your team back healthy, and I think that's going to be the biggest factor going into this next run. Even if you don't have LaMarcus, I think this team can still be good without him. But getting Derek White back is going to be probably the biggest thing for this team.
I mean, the youth movement is, I think, everything that we've wanted to see as a fan base from the very beginning. You know, when DeJounte was in, when DeJounte was drafted, when Derek was drafted, when Lonnie was drafted, I think all of them, especially, I think it culminated after Keldon. I think that's when the fan base was really like, give us this youth movement. This is what, you know, this is kind of the quote unquote rebuild that we've been wanting, or not wanting, but at least like this is what we've been undergoing. So at least give it to us. Stop this G League, you know, send him in the G League, our first rounders, and get him in those minutes, even though it's good development. But, you know, we want to see our young guys play, because if you're going to draft them, there's a reason why you're drafting them, and so you should be playing them at least in the NBA, not just in the G League. And so seeing DeJounte, Keldon, and Lonnie, especially those two, the last two guys, Keldon and Lonnie, seeing them come out and just perform day in and day out, it's been fantastic. And I think it's given, while there are still losses, it at least gives us a reason to watch the games. You know, as opposed to the previous seasons where we saw the same thing always happen. It would, you know, the ball would stop, you know, on the low post, and it would sit there for a few seconds while, you know, LA tried to kind of make something happen, and then, you know, jack up a horrible, you know, turnaround jumper. You know, now we have ball movement. You know, we're seeing guys run around and make plays, and, you know, catch and shoot off of the pass, and it's looking great. And these guys, you know, the younger core can actually defend at the same time. So a lot of what San Antonio's identity has always been was defense translates to offense. And so seeing this defense again, seeing the defensive tenacity being, you know, at the center point of their game, of their identity, is kind of, it's refreshing. It's great again. You know, we're seeing these transition points come in, and it's just watching fun basketball again.
Absolutely. It's been exciting to watch the Spurs team. You know, not only are, you know, I think they've been relatively successful given who they've played this season, but it's a different brand of basketball. They're running faster, you know, they're shooting slightly more threes, but these young guys are out on the court. And if we're going to talk about the young guys, we can't really, you know, glance over Keldon Johnson. He's been great this year. Third on the team in points per game, third in minutes per game, second in free throw attempts per game, first in steals per game, first in rebounds per game, and he's doing all this while shooting 45% from the field, 43% from the three-point line. He's been spectacular. You know, there's not really anything else I can say about him, you know, that really hasn't been said about from Spurs fans yet. I kind of want to know what y'all's take is on him. Do you think this is a sustainable thing, or maybe just a hot start. I kind of tend to think that he's going to be able to maintain this at least a little bit going throughout the season.
I think he can. He did show that he had consistency down in Austin last season throughout the G League season. And so essentially he's just translating what he did in Austin to the NBA play. And I think that his play in the NBA is going to be much better than it was in the G League, especially looking at his shooting. Looking back at Friday night's game against the Lakers, dude went off 5 for 8 from deep. And I know he has a weird, like, high arcing shot, but hey, if it's going in, it's going in. But he's showing that he's consistently can be stellar on defense against whoever he's going up against. He's gone up against Zion, Pascal Siakam, and LeBron James twice now, and he's still put up some stellar like head-to-head defensive stats. But for him to go out there, score 15 points a game, which is that's really what you just need from him, do it on the shooting level that he's doing, which is a much better improvement from his G League shooting, to also getting almost eight rebounds a game at 6'5". Come on. It's extremely fun to watch, and it's just the way that he's aggressive out there, that he's bringing energy to the floor, and that can't be ignored. And I think that, again, I'm not sure that he's going to go off for 20 to 26 points a night or anything like that, but you don't really need that from him. You just need him to be consistent on defense and then bring you the offense whenever you need it to stretch the floor or just fight opposing teams down low. But I think I can agree with you. No, I think this is going to be a guy that can do it consistently throughout the season.
You know, I'm going to say it. I think Kelton has that superstar ability. You know, and that might be a hot take, but we're seeing from what each year that he's been in the league, I mean, or from last year, his rookie year to now, I mean, the thing that's special about Kelton's game is how efficient he is when driving to the paint. Like, he's insanely efficient because he makes at least, I don't have the stat in front of me, but if you're looking at the shooting splits, like you said, like 0.44 or 0.45, 0.429, 0.842. So it's like he's shooting at least almost 50% or making at least 50% of his baskets when he's driving into the lane, which is insane. And that's all his game is. Now he has increased his shooting from deep. And I think we can see that progressing more, and I think he's going to be an extremely high 3-point shooter, because even last year, you know, in the bubble, he was still shooting really well with Derek. But his game comes from driving and, you know, going to the basket and cutting into the paint. And so it's kind of like the same thing as LeBron James. Like, a lot of LeBron James in his early years was cutting into the basket and you know, driving into the paint, and then we started seeing LeBron add range to his game. Now, I'm not saying Keldon's going to be the same thing, but I'm just saying that's, you know, we saw the progression with other players, and the same thing with Kawhi. You know, Kawhi wasn't a very good shooter to begin with, but his game was going inside and you know, taking these either driving to the basket or playing that mid-range game, and then he started adding on to his game. And Kelton has the talent and also the mentality to always continually add to his game. So this kid is special, and to get him, to snag him at 29 was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and I love Kelton, and I love your optimism, but I'm going to go ahead and be the person who's a bit of a party pooper. You know, there's only around 10 superstars in the league at any given time, right? And, you know, Kelton has shown us some really, really encouraging stuff, but I don't think he has superstar potential. I think very few players have superstar potential, and yes, he's defended guys like Zion, Pascal Siakam, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and he's done it well. And on the other end, he's contributed pretty well, as far as a second year player without a lot of experience under his belt. But, you know, with superstar players, you know, Kawhi obviously is an outlier. You know, someone like Kawhi or Jimmy Butler, you know, legendary work ethic, continue to add to their game every year. But they're also kind of like, you know, physical freaks in a way. And when I look at Kelton, yes, he's got a big body. Yes, he can finish through contact. You know, yes, he can finish at the rim. But when I look at him, superstars, and again, you know, he has plenty of time to add to his game, but superstars have moves. They have counter moves. They have, you know, pretty extensive dribble packages. And when I look at Keldon, that's not really something he has. And I'm not saying he's not going to get there. But like I said, you know, maybe 10 superstars in the league at once. To think Keldon, especially after maybe 22 games in his career, has superstar potential, I think it's a little bit early for that. You know, I think he can be a special player in his own right, you know, given that most 29th overall picks aren't even starters. And this kid is already starting for the San Antonio Spurs in his second year, like I said, without 20 games or, you know, 25 games under his belt. I think he's going to be really good. But superstar potential, I don't think he has that. But
always,
you know,
the anchor.
Maybe I could be wrong. You know, I hope that he proves me wrong. You know, I always hope that the San Antonio Spurs prove me wrong. And they kind of have so far early this season. You know, they are 2-3, but they're playing incredibly competitive basketball.
They're playing basketball that's better than their record.
Yeah, they're definitely they're playing basketball that's better than their record. But one thing that I've noticed is Pop and you know, the coaching staff, it seems like when LaMarcus is in the game, and he'll be back soon, they're still figuring out how to balance, you know, the vets with the bubble small ball that we saw. And it's been fun, but I don't think it's a finished product yet. You know, they're still operating at the 10th highest pace, so they're going fast. You know, they're shooting about 33s per game, so that's up from last year. But it just isn't a finished product, but I'm happy with what I've seen. Is there anything that y'all would change about the rotations if you could? If you were Pop, you know, what would you change to these rotations? Because for me, it would probably be phasing out Rudy Gay a little bit. And I know he hasn't been awful, but he hasn't been great. And I can't help but feel like a regression is going to happen, because that's just typically what we've seen from him.
You call me out from our Twitter DM conversation, Noah. I think the change I would do is phase out LaMarcus Aldridge just completely. And I think this team has shown that they can be. I think they're a better product without LaMarcus. I know offensively that the center position doesn't look as bright, especially if you look at the Friday night game against the Lakers, where both Drew Eubanks and Poeltl only scored 0 points combined. So I know I know the offense is definitely lacking at that center position, but it was also between some of the two best guys in the league, and Anthony Davis and LeBron James. I think those two could really work up a scoring frenzy against teams that lack in a big man position, or just have someone that isn't top 10, essentially top 10 in the league between two different players. But I think that the brutality that Drew Eubanks can bring to the floor, I know Poeltl still needs some. There's some improvement that Poeltl needs to show, but I think if you played those two over a guy like LaMarcus, I think those two just fit better with the team's scheme, as you would say, especially being a defensive-minded team. And also, LaMarcus Aldridge, he's 37 years old. You can already see that he's regressed, and it doesn't help that he had a shoulder surgery as well. The regression is there,
by the way.
35, sorry, but you can see the regression with LMA already, and it's going to suck to see. I know he only has 1 year on his contract. I think you just need to phase him out. I thought the best thing for the Spurs going up against the Lakers twice was to not have LMA out there, and I know that some people are not going to agree with that, but that's what I personally would do.
Yeah, and I'll let Mac go here in a second. But I gotta be that guy again, Ty. I gotta be the guy who disagrees with you.
All right, let Mac,
you know,
go, and then
LaMarcus
you.
LaMarcus has done, you know, pretty spectacular. But I can let Mac talk a little bit about what he would change in the rotation. But I still think at this point, LaMarcus is better than Drew Eubanks. Like, Drew Eubanks may be scheme-wise a better fit, but LaMarcus is still the better player, and you can't bench a guy like that who's making $24 million.
So I'm not,
especially if you're trying to move away from.
So I'm not going to say start Drew Eubanks. I actually prefer Jakob Poeltl in the starting lineup, just with the way that he fits with those young guys. But I think Drew would be a better candidate within the rotation. That's what I'm saying. All right, Mac, you go.
Yeah, I mean, so easily. What Noah's saying, that goes without a doubt. Like, LA is still probably one of the better players on the team. You know, his performance hasn't been very good, like, or his performances haven't been very good. But again, it could be also attributed to a shoulder injury, and then now his knee injury that he's kind of nursing right now, and that's why we've seen him out. But I mean, I'm not gonna go with. I just think overall in general, the Spurs need help you know, in the front court, whether it's the four position or the five position, they just need somebody else that's going to come in and add some points, be like a third or fourth option in scoring, and a paint, you know, a paint defender. Cause you know, Poeltl for some reason, I mean, maybe it's because of the inconsistent minutes again, but it's just, he's had a good game and then he's kind of regressed a little bit and had a good game and then kind of regressed. And it's just, and again, I think it's, we're seeing it because we saw it last year where when he had a good amount of run and he was getting consistent minutes, you know, he showed his potential. And then when his minutes started fluctuating again, it kind of, his play and his game kind of went with it and fluctuated. And I think this year has been kind of indicative of the same thing, where if he doesn't receive consistent minutes, his game doesn't translate very well.
I would say because not having consistent minutes doesn't allow you to have consistent play.
Right, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. I think Poeltl can fill that starting position center, especially, like you said, how it fits around with the younger core. But I think just in general, adding somebody to that front court that can either play that four or can be that combo forward, where they can switch from the four or five. Because right now the small ball lineup that they're playing, like all the guys are 6'5" and below, or you know, 6'5", 6'6", and that's not very big. Like usually, you know, in your four spot you have like a 6'9" to 6'10", 6'11" type of guy where they can guard larger forwards, or you know, smaller centers. And right now the Spurs don't have that. Like they have LA, or I mean, outside of Rudy, but we all know how, you know, his progression is going to be. Eventually it's not, I mean, he's older too, it's not going to sustain, it's not going to last. But for a starting, you know, for a starting front court type of player, you need somebody that's going to help you out there, and right now they don't have that. So
it's the player that I'm thinking of, what that you're saying is
Christian Wood. They should have Christian Wood, period.
The Spurs need a player that's like a year four Rudy Gay instead of a year 14 Rudy Gay. But
yes,
I think Rudy Gay's like model of like the type of player that he is what the Spurs need, but they just need a younger, more consistent version of that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Christian Wood. They should have just picked up Christian Wood. I'm gonna die on that hill.
That would have been nice if they got Christian Wood. I'm gonna harp on the LaMarcus Aldridge thing one last time, and then we'll move on.
Okay, roast me.
You know, LMA hasn't been good this season, but he's coming off of a shoulder surgery. He's 35 years old. He hasn't played basketball in probably 5 months, 6 months. You know, it's going to be rusty. He's not going to be good at the start of a season. And I just, you know, I have a couple stats that I have ready here. So I think these games would have gone different against the Lakers had he played. For his career, he's held Anthony Davis under 39% shooting from the field. And last year, he held him to 9-25 from the field when he played the Lakers as the primary defender. You know, I can't help but feel LaMarcus, yes, he's lost some mobility, but he can still bang around with big guys. And as much as Anthony Davis loves the mid-range, as much as he, you know, has stretched his game out to the three, he still gets a lot of his buckets on the inside. And that's where I think LaMarcus can be useful. Yes, Drew Eubanks is a serviceable backup. Yes, he plays with energy. He's more mobile. But at the end of the day, he's not a better player than LaMarcus Aldridge is right now. And I'm not taking Eubanks over LaMarcus, not even as a backup. You know, not as a backup. Not as a starter. In no scenario am I taking Eubanks, because I like him. He earned his contract, but he's not even close to a LaMarcus level player right now. And that's really not an indictment of him. That's really just LaMarcus is still a good player. But you know, I'll move on from that. You know,
just my counterpoint is, I know Drew Eubanks is not a better overall player, but like I said, I think he fits better in especially if you're trying to go defensive minded. Drew Eubanks is actually posting the best defensive ranking on the team at the moment, and that's my thinking of why I would rather have Drew Eubanks in there, just as a defensive minded person at this moment.
Yeah, I just think that's incredibly context dependent. Drew Eubanks has come in at the end of games, or he's come in as a backup against backups. So just like Jakob last season, where he played a lot of backups, and that's when he posted his best numbers. You know, that's probably what's going to happen with Drew Eubanks. You know, he hasn't played against a lot of starters. He hasn't started any games. And we're also, you know, we're 5 games into the season, so I think it's too early to read into anyone, except for Keldon Johnson. Keldon Johnson is really good, really fun to watch. He's going to keep being good. But yeah, I mean, we can move on from this topic. You know, I think we've covered, you know, pretty much everything that Spurs fans need to know through 5 games this season. So let's go ahead and have some fun. So I didn't announce it earlier, but this is a special crossover episode. We have Brandon and Paul of the Even Odds podcast here to do some Spurs trivia with us. How are y'all doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm super happy.
Yeah, the two Blazers fans here were just dying to mention something about LaMarcus Aldridge.
I gotta tell you, like, honestly, like, it's so refreshing to hear a fan base talk about their team that's not here in Portland or not the national media talking about how great LeBron and Giannis are. So it was really great to hear your takes on it, because I never would have thought Keldon Johnson was going to be a superstar at all.
He is.
And now you're telling me he is. It was really hard to bite my tongue when you guys were talking about how LA was washed up, because, I mean, there's a soft spot here, obviously, in Rip City for LA.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll gladly take him back if you'd like an Enes Kanter in return.
You know what?
Yeah, if you have connections, go for it.
I wanted the Spurs to take Enes Kanter whenever he was on the trade market from the Knicks when that happened, so I will gladly make that trade.
The only reason I'd be happy to get rid of him is because we have Harry Giles sitting there, and I think Harry Giles has star potential. He's not going to get there, but he has star potential. He's very
we'll
fun
take
to
him.
Watch.
Yeah. We'll take him too.
I wouldn't give you Harry Giles for almost anybody. I'm in love with the kid. So,
well, I thought maybe your soft spot for LaMarcus might, you know, change your mind.
Trump that a little bit.
That's
yeah.
okay.
I mean, he did willingly leave us. So, I mean, it, you know, lover scoring, you know.
Baby,
so
come back.
I'm gonna make a confession here. I'm a diehard Spurs fan, but I do have a Damian Lillard jersey in my closet.
As you should.
Oh, that's awesome. I love to hear that.
He's one of the most likable players in the NBA. It's really hard to hate on Damian Lillard.
Absolutely. So.
But to be honest, the Blazers are probably my second favorite team in the league. But I also think that's my small market bias.
Now you're just, you know, you're kissing up to us. So.
Hey, I could have named your roster if you guys asked me.
Without looking.
Nice.
Without looking.
Nice.
Without looking. Well, it's a good thing that wasn't one of the questions that we wrote. So
no. Most of our questions are Spurs. There's a few non-Spurs questions, but they're mostly Spurs or Spurs adjacent.
All right, we can take that.
Yeah, we're ready. We're totally ready. All of us, you know, we studied, kind of.
Nice. Nice.
We're ready for your trivia. We're ready for this trivia. I think we're going to knock it out of the park or, you know, just crash miserably.
Should be fun, these games. So we're over at the Even Odds podcast. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us anywhere you find podcasts. We've been around just a few months now, but we've been lucky enough to have some great guests, including Noah, who came on recently and we had a great time talking to Noah. So we appreciate the opportunity to share these games, any opportunity that we get. That's been fun. I wrote some games today just kind of for the fun here. Paul's going to play along with you, but I usually handicap Paul as much as possible, so look for me to do that and try to make things as hard on him as possible. The first game I've got for you is called Build a List. It's a very simple concept. I state a category, and each person takes turns naming players that fit in that category. It's double elimination, so two wrong guesses, you're out. Last person standing gets the point. I'll probably offer some bonus point opportunities as well, things that I think might be really difficult. Paul only gets one wrong guess. If Paul gets a wrong guess, then I'm going to boot him out immediately. We're going to go with Mac, Ty, Noah, Paul. That's the order we're going to go with. And we're naming all-time Spurs All-Stars. Any Spur player who has ever made an All-Star game.
Oh,
there are 21 of these players. And I'm going to give bonus points for anyone who only did it once before 1980.
Oh.
Okay.
So we're going to start with Mac.
I'm going to go easy. I mean, it's Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan, he made a couple All-Star games, 15 of them to be exact. So number one in franchise history. Yeah, it's a little known player. Next up is Ty.
I'm going to go Sean Elliott.
Sean Elliott, nice. Two All-Stars in the 90s, absolutely. Back to Noah now.
Well, we'll go even more old school. We'll go with George Gervin.
Gervin, number two all-time with 11 All-Stars. Paul.
I mean, we already talked about him a little bit. Put some respect on his name, LaMarcus Aldridge.
LaMarcus Aldridge, three-time All-Star, absolutely. Back to Mac.
We're going to do Tony Parker.
Tony Parker, yeah, 6-time All-Star. Ty.
All right, former Sixth Man of the Year, Manu Ginobili.
My man.
Manu Ginobili, 2-time Ooh, All-Star. Yeah, I thought there'd be more than that. I thought there'd be more than that, but 2-time All-Star. And this is funny, 2005 and 2011, so 6 years separated his 2 All-Star appearances.
Should have been every year. Should have been every year.
I agree.
I guess I'll have to go with my man. I think Alvin Robinson, right? I think that's his name. Alvin Robinson. Robinson.
I'll give you that. Robertson. Three times in the '80s.
He played with David Robinson for a minute.
Nice. That's a good one. I like it. Alvin Robertson. 3 times in the '80s: 86, 87, and 88. Paul.
No one said Kawhi yet, have they?
No one said Kawhi yet.
No, we don't.
He who shall now be named.
Hey man, I'm not in the middle of the Alamo here, so I can say Kawhi. We don't like him in Portland either. So
yeah, 2-time All Star player, 1-time All Star whiner. It's fantastic. back to Mac.
We're gonna do Avery Johnson.
Avery Johnson is not on the list, although did you mean him as a coach? Oh, because I didn't count coaches, so I'll give you a redo if you meant it as a coach.
Sure,
did he coach the Spurs?
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
I'm surprised he never made a team.
Never made an All-Star team as a player.
All right, give it to me as a coach.
All right, so try again, Mac.
All right, let's. We haven't said David Robinson, right? I don't think we've said the Admiral yet.
Yeah, made a couple of them, 10 to be exact, 10 All-Star appearances for David Robinson. Absolutely. And in my opinion, now it gets kind of tough. So we'll see. To Ty now.
All right, I'm guessing they had to be on the Spurs to make a playoff, make an All-Star team.
Yeah, All-Star with the Spurs.
All right. This is going to be tough. I'm just naming this as a retired number, Artis Gilmore.
Artis Gilmore, 2-time All-Star for the Spurs in the '80s. Absolutely,
let's go.
We've learned in these games, Artis Gilmore is usually an answer. So
it's the only thing I had left was Artis Gilmore because it's been on our show.
All right, Noah, I'm going to be honest with you. This is tough, and let's see. I'm going to give you a hint. There is nobody left after 1980.
I only have one guy left, and it's because he played with George Gervin. I'm pretty sure he was an All-Star. Larry Keenan,
3-time All-Star. Fantastic pull, Noah. I'm impressed. Paul.
That's it. That's all I have. So after that, I'm done.
We're still missing one. That's pretty good.
Count me out because I can't even think of, besides Gervin, I can't think of anyone on the Spurs that early.
Very fair. So Paul's out.
The last one that I have. So the last one that I have is James Silas.
Yep. 2-time All-Star in the '70s. Fantastic. Got anybody, Ty?
Oh, nice.
I know this is wrong, but Matt Bonner. I just not throw that out there.
You know what?
There should be bonus points for that.
Yeah, bonus points for not getting Matt Bonner. Absolutely.
All right. I'm saying this is gonna be a question, but can we name All-Star players, but they performed in All-Star events.
Well, that's not on my list, so you won't get a point. But if you want to name them, that's fine. there's nine left, but they're all from the 70s.
There's nine. God. Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah, one from the 60s.
Wow.
Okay.
You know what?
I don't even think the Spurs were a lot around in the 60s.
That's fine. Yeah, and feel free to pass. If you don't have a name, we can call this. I think, let's see here. Mac was the last one. Noah, I'll give points to Mac and Noah for getting the last two numbers if we call it. We can call it if nobody has a name.
I'm out. I'm totally.
I think this is like the Spurs that were playing like in the Alamo Dome.
Yeah, this is stuff. I don't know who any of these
back
people
in the ABA days.
So we've got a 3-time
All-Star. We might be in.
3-time All-Star John Beasley is on the list, 68, 69, and 70. We got Rich Jones, Steve Jones, Smith Nader, Donnie Freeman, Cliff Hagan, Billy Paltz, and my favorite name, Cincinnatus Powell.
All right, I must be a total Spurs fan because I don't know any of those names.
I think this is like Dallas Chaparral's territory. Like, yeah. I think it is. I don't know. I've never. Are you sure Cincinnatus? What was the name? Is that a real person?
Cincinnatus Powell.
Are you sure these guys actually played?
It's possible.
I feel like I lost the opportunity. I missed an opportunity to name one of my kids Cincinnatus. I feel remorse now.
It should have been. I feel like Cincinnatus should have been my little girl's, at least my 2-year-old. She seems like a Cincinnatus.
Was Coffee She's Black sassy. Not on the non on an all-star team? Because I know he played for the Spurs at one point before he went back to the Flint Tropics.
That is true.
not with the Spurs anyway, at least. So that you guys did great on that list. Honestly, I wasn't expecting Artis Gilmore or James Silas or Larry Keenan to get picked. So that's fantastic. I gave points to Mac and Noah because they got the last two that were really obscure. We're gonna do another one of these. This one is less Spursy. This one's more just general recent NBA. We're gonna do the same order. We're gonna do Mac, Ty, Noah, Paul, and we're gonna do players with at least 400 2-point shots made last season. So gonna be big guys and guys who shoot mid-range shots. So players with at least 400 2-point shots made last season.
Is this Spurs only, or is it just any players?
Just any player in the NBA. So like I said, I did lots of Spursy games and then a few that are a little bit general NBA. So just to kind of mix things up a little bit, there might be a Spur on the list. It's very possible. We're talking about 2 points made last season. There are 21 players on this list. So Mac, you're up.
I'm going to go with DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan, yes, absolutely. Number 3 on that list with 548 last year. Ty?
Wow.
I'm going to go the Joker, Jokic.
Let's see. The Joker, Jokic. Yes, absolutely. Number 6, 485. To Noah?
Giannis,
yeah, number 1 on that list because all he does is dunk. 596 two-pointers made. Fantastic.
From everywhere on the court, yes.
Yeah. Paul?
Is that CJ McCollum?
CJ McCollum, yeah, number 16 on that list. Yeah, CJ, Mr. Mid-Range right there. Mac?
Yep.
I'm going to go with LaMarcus Aldridge.
Aldridge missed too much time, but normally he is on this list. So that's one strike for Mac. Ty.
Dang it, injuries.
I'm going to go with Luka.
Luka, yeah, number 19 on the list, 410. Noah?
Wow. LeBron?
LeBron, yeah, number 4 on the list, 495. Back to Paul.
I'm going to assume Russell Westbrook because he can't shoot from outside.
Number 2 on that list, 549. Absolutely. Yeah,
that checks out. Yeah.
One more than DeRozan did last year. Back to Mac.
Oh.
Okay, so then I'm going to go AD, Anthony Davis.
Yep, number 7 on that list, 479. Back to Ty.
I'm going to go Kawhi.
Kawhi, number 20 on that list, just barely, 409. He had 409.
Oh, dang. Let's go.
I got saved.
And I'll give a bonus point to the person who gets number 21 on the list, which is exactly 400. So I'll give a bonus point to that. Noah, back to you.
Maybe DeMontis Sabonis? He shoots inside a lot, right? That's like kind of a shtick.
Yeah, number 10 on that list, 441. Nice pull. Paul.
I'm going pure volume on this one. What about Devin Booker?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, number 5, 486. Yeah, that guy, all he does is shoot. Back to Mac.
I'm going to go with, let me try this one. James Harden. I know he shoots outside a lot, but, I mean, he's, like Paul said, pure volume.
Harden not on the list. No, it's a good guess, but not on the list. It's just too many 3-point shots and too many missed shots that equal foul shots.
There you go. I like that. Okay.
So Mac is.
I'm good.
That's what we're here for. We're here to sort of compliment people. That's what we do.
We have to be relatively kind to James Harden because on the odd chance that Neil Olshey actually pulls the trigger and brings him into Portland, we don't want him to absolutely hate the city already.
Oh, so.
And he's definitely a listener.
It won't happen. I'm it's sure a guarantee. Yeah. It won't happen.
Yeah, but, I'm sure he's one of our listeners. One of our tens of listeners is James Harden. That's the way it goes. So Mac is out. Ty, you're up.
I'm going to go with the man who had no help last season, Bradley Beal.
Bradley Beal, yeah, number 14 on that list, 423. Wow, back to Noah.
One. Ooh, good pickup.
Yeah.
Bam Adebayo. I kind of feel like he never shot threes, so.
Yeah, number 11 on the list, 430. I love Bam. I just love Bam Adebayo. He's so much fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Paul.
Okay. How many guys are left? There can't be that many, right?
Mm-mm.
Eight. Eight players left.
Okay. Don't worry, Paul. Join me in the box.
I had Brad Beal in my head, and then he was sad. I'm trying to think. I'm just going to go just based off because he can't shoot outside of 8 feet. How about lifelong Blazer Hassan Whiteside?
Yeah, number 12 on that list. Absolutely. 432.
Wow, that's a good one.
He shot a lot. A lot more than he should have.
Yeah, he did. Back to Ty.
I'm thinking like All-Stars. I'm going to go Spida. Spida Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell. Yeah. Number four.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, number 13, 429. Hey, back to Noah. You guys are crushing this list.
It's getting dicey now.
Yeah, six net. Six
I also
left.
Feel like Montrezl Harrell cannot shoot at all, right? Like, but he was sixth man of the year, right? So, like, he didn't shoot any. I'm going to go with Montrezl then. I don't know if he is, but I'm hoping he is.
The man who got bullied by Drew Eubanks?
Yeah, he's number eight on the list, 471. That's fantastic. Great
point. Oh, wow.
That's a great one.
Okay, that's way higher than I thought.
Back to Paul.
Is it back to me already?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Let's see, we've got number nine on the list is still out there, and then it's 15, 17, 18, and 21. So,
man, I am absolutely drawing a blank here. I'm going to say Pascal Siakam.
Not Pascal Siakam. Paul is out, but it's down to Ty and Noah. Neither one have strikes. Back to Ty.
Welcome, Paul.
All right, so I'm just...
It's nice over here. It's relaxing.
Exactly.
So if Montrez was on the list, as well as Hassan Whiteside, Andre Drummond?
Yeah, number 18 on the list, 413.
Hey. Nice.
Jesus. That makes sense.
Yeah. I'm thinking of big men who work inside.
I forget he's still in the league sometimes.
Isn't he on Cleveland now?
Oh, man. This is... Yeah, this is a tough one. I feel like he has to be in there. I'm going to go with Rudy Gobert because, like, all he does is dunk too, right? Like,
oh, yeah, good point. Yeah, good one.
Not Rudy Gobert. Probably just not quite enough shot attempts. So that's one strike for Noah.
Dang. Okay.
Yeah, he's crazy efficient. He must have just not shot enough.
He must have been. Yeah, must have been.
All right.
Ty.
I'm going to go with the other Nikola Vucevic.
Not Vucevic either, which shocks me. I thought he'd be on that list.
Wow.
So that's a strike for Ty. There's a strike for each of you. Ty has the last correct answer. So if Noah doesn't get one here, Ty wins.
Okay. How about... God, I'm trying to think of big men in the league. We've got a lot of them, and I feel like we haven't named a ton of big men. You know what? How about Jonas Valanciunas from the Grizzlies? He averaged like 18 or so points a game last season, right? Like, he was pretty high volume.
Yeah. He had exactly 400. That's your bonus point right there. Noah gets a bonus point for
you
Jonas
Valanciunas. Oh, you got the bonus.
Exactly 400. Back to Ty.
Think of our big man.
I'll give you a hint, Ty. There aren't any more big men.
What?
That's a good hint.
I'll give you a hint. The last three are either guards or wings.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Now I got to think of a high-scoring guards. Guards or wings. I think this one's out here. Tobias Harris?
Tobias Harris, number 15 on that list. 422.
What?
Nice.
Damn it,
Ty.
Let's go.
I was thinking Joel Embiid goes to the line a little too much. I think of just scoring wings. Tobias Harris has to be one of them.
Oh, guys,
one thing I've learned about the games that we write is when in doubt, always Tobias Harris. Always. He's on every single list.
I wish it was on the Spurs, too. So when in doubt, Tobias Harris on the Spurs.
Oh, back to Noah. This one's tight. There's only two names
left. You know, I feel like T.J. Warren plays a lot like DeMar DeRozan does, where he takes like a lot of middies. I could totally be wrong, because I was gonna guess Joel Embiid, but you said there's no more big men, so
Bubble Warren
is T.J. Warren in there? Like
he
didn't miss
number
a lot of games,
nine,
right?
Number nine on that list, 443 for T.J. Warren.
Let's go,
Ty. Can you get that last name for the win?
Can I get a hint? Is it East or Western Conference?
I'll give you a hint. It's a guard. Not
a
wing.
Guard.
It's a guard.
Oh, man.
And it's not Dame. Oh. I'll tell you, it's not Dame.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Sure. I may not answer it, but you can.
Does he count as a guard? Does Ben Simmons count as a guard?
He counts as a guard in my mind, but that's not going to help you.
How much time did Ben – I was going to say, Ben Simmons probably missed a bit too much time.
He did. He missed a lot of time.
I'm just going to – Chris Paul?
Not Chris Paul. It is Colin Sexton is the last name
what?
On this
what?
List.
Whoa.
Yeah, number 7 with 416. Yeah, so Noah takes that game. That was a close game. That was good, guys. I'm very impressed.
So wait, so Colin Sexton made the list, but Zach LaVine didn't?
Zach LaVine takes too many threes. That's it. It's guys that take too many threes. Yeah, it's crazy. But that's the way it works.
Was Julius Randle close? I also thought about guessing Julius Randle, but you said no, like, big man. Was he close?
No, I think the bubble affected him. I think the fact that he wasn't in the bubble,
you know what?
I think,
sense.
Hurt.
That makes sense. You know what? That makes sense.
You know what? If I was looking at Colin Sexton's points from last season where he's averaging 20 points a game, I probably should have guessed him.
Yeah, he's on
That's
a lot
tough.
Of the chucker
I don't
lists.
Think I would have ever said him.
He's on a lot of the chucker lists. Okay,
damn,
so
he
that
shot
was
42%.
Okay,
damn.
He's
shooting. I had to look at his numbers.
He and Drummond both are actually playing pretty well so far this season. We're going to shift to a game called Name That Team. It's a bidding game. You'll choose a category in a year or a time frame and then bid how many names you need me to give you off that roster in order to name the team. So I name them for the person I view as the least known to the most known. So like if it was the Blazers this year, Damian Lillard would be the last name I would say. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you could say something like, I could name that team in 8 names. Then the next person would say, I name it in 6. And then the next person might say, name that team. And then you'll get your 6 names. If you get it right, great. You get a point. If you get it wrong, then it goes to the next person with an additional name and so on until the team is actually named. You only get one chance to bid. So if it goes through all 4 of you, then the last person's bid will go. Like it doesn't keep cycling through. So that's it. So we're going to go. Let's see here. Ty is behind, so we're going to start with Ty, then Mac, then Noah, then Paul in this one. Ty, you can have one of 2 categories. You can have We Can't Stop Here, This Is Bat Country, teams the Spurs played against when bats showed up in the arena. Or you can have Analytics Be Damned, teams with the league leader in 2-point shots made that year.
Let's go with the bats.
Okay. Do you want a team from from like 2009, 2010, or a team from 2018, 2019?
Give me the 18-19 because I know I'm not going to do good with the 08-09.
All right. How many names?
Give
out
me
of
the
15?
Latest team.
How many names out of 15 do you need?
Let's go with at least 7.
7. Okay, Mac. You want to go lower than 7, or have him name that team?
Let's have him name that team.
All right. Ty, here are your 7 names. Theo Pinson, Rodion Skurix, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Travion Graham, Kenneth
Nets.
Fareed. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That is the Nets.
I remember the game itself. I remember the game, and I was like, once I heard Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, I was like, shit, that's a Nets. That's a Nets,
yeah.
Nets team.
Yeah. And I remember D'Angelo Russell like going back into the tunnel being like, nah, I'm not messing with that.
Running away.
All right, so that's the way the game works. We're going to go this time, Mac, same 2 categories as before, or you can do Analytics Be Praised, teams with the league leader in defensive box plus minus that year.
Let me do the Analytics Be Praised.
All right, do you want a team from the 2000s or the 2010s?
Let me do the 2010s.
Okay, and how many names out of 15 do you need?
Let me try 7. I think 7 is a pretty good one. Pretty good number.
Noah,
want
to go lower?
No, I don't think I'm going to be able to name that. So let Mac get this one for sure.
All right, I like your chances here, Mac. Kevin Martin, Ray McCallum, Rajuel Butler, Boban Marjanovic, Jonathan Simmons, Kyle Anderson, and Boris Diaw.
Oh, that's going to be the Spurs.
That is the Spurs, nice. Absolutely.
I was going to say, once I heard Boban, I'm like, yeah. That can't be the Pistons or
the Mavs.
That has to be.
Yeah.
Matt, can
I like
you
that.
Name
who, I like that question.
Can you name who led the league in defensive box plus minus off that roster that year?
Ooh, was it Tim Duncan that year?
It was Tim Duncan, absolutely. Mac, so oh, Mac man. Has tied nice. Noah Let's go. Now. Noah, you get the same category, those three categories, or you could do 10 or less, teams that won 10 or less games in a season.
I guess I'll go 10 or less. We'll see.
All right. Do you want?
I mean, those would be like Cleveland.
These are tougher, right? Because they're bad teams. So do you want 2010s or 1990s?
Oh, 2010s for sure.
All right. How many out
Just
of 15?
Think about the Knicks or Cleveland.
How many names out of 15 do you need?
I think 7's been the lucky number so far. I think I'm going to go with 7.
All right, Paul?
I'm glad I said the president.
Oh, boy. I feel like Noah's going to get this with 7, so I'm going to say 6.
6. All right, Mac? Or Ty, I'm sorry. Ty?
You know what? I'm going to say 5. Hell.
Attaboy.
Let's go with it.
5.
Go.
There it is. Right. Mac, you want to go lower than 5?
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, if we're doing this, let's pull it to 4.
4. All right. So here are your 4 names, Mac. Eduardo Najera, Desigana Diop, Corey Higgins, and Matt Carroll. The second time Matt Carroll has been brought. Oh, no, we brought up Matt Bonner. Never mind. Getting my Bonners and my Carrolls mixed up.
Aren't they the same person?
They might be.
You know what? I'm just for the sake of the joke, I'm going to go with the Knicks.
Not the Knicks. Noah, your next name is Reggie Williams.
Okay, when you said Eduardo Najera, I was like, I'm pretty
Wait,
sure it's
it be...
the Bobcats, right?
It is the Bobcats. Fantastic.
Wait, hold on. I thought I said 5.
Yeah, but so
oh,
it goes
it is. It go...
yeah, but,
the
but
next
I got it
order,
wrong, so...
right? Yeah.
All right.
So yes, absolutely. No, it is the Bobcats. This is the worst record in NBA history. Noah, can you name how many points they, or how many games they won that year?
Oh, probably not. I'll go with like 14 because I'm pretty sure the Nets won like 12 games one season. So I think it's got to be around that, right? Like 14 or so.
Not 14. Ty, do you want to take a shot? Remember, the category is 10 or less. Teams that won 10 or less games in a season.
Oh, well, oh my gosh. Okay, yeah. Well, I obviously was not paying attention well enough. I deserve that. I deserve that for sure.
Ty, want to take a guess for a bonus point?
Let me go. I'm trying to think of. I'm going to go our lucky number. I'm going to say 7.
It is 7. Absolutely, Ty.
Oh, shit.
I'm surprised it wasn't 14. I really am still surprised it was not 14.
All right, Paul. Paul, you know the categories. Tell me if you want me to repeat them. Which one are you most interested in?
You choose for me, pal.
Yeah, let's do analytics be damned.
What do you
Teams
feel
with
like
the
reading?
League leader in two-point shots made that year. This is a team. Do you want 2000s or 2010s?
2000s.
2000s. All right. There are 15 names, Paul. How many do you need?
I want to make this real fun. We're going to make this I'm going to put a lot of pressure here on Ty. I'm going to say 2 names.
2 names. Whoa. Oh, this Whoa, should be fun. Ty, team for the 2000s. You want to go 1?
You know what? Why not? Let's just go with it.
But you don't have to, man. You get if you I'm going to get it wrong, so you're going to get 3 names.
You know what?
All right, Theo Ratliff, Ty. That's the name from 2007-2008. I'll give you the year. 2007-2008, teams with the league leader in two-point shots made that year.
I'm just going to throw this out here. Boston Celtics?
Not the Celtics. Let's see here.
I was
going
to say the same thing. Dang.
Mac, Gerald Green is your next name. So Theo Ratliff and Gerald Green.
Theo Ratliff. And this is the league leader in two-point shots, right?
Yep.
In the 2000s.
2007, 2008. 7-8.
Theo Radcliffe, Gerald Green. I don't know why I keep thinking of the Nets.
Not the Nets. Noah, Michael Doliak.
Who? God.
Portland, Oregon's own Michael Doliak.
I don't even know what team I, you know what, just for the sake of it, I know it's not them, but I don't know who it is. Is it the Portland Trailblazers? I have no idea what teams these guys played for.
It's not the Portland Trailblazers. And I'll give you, this one's hard. This one's really hard. So, Paul, Greg Buckner.
Are we just going to keep going?
I think I have it.
Yeah?
I think it's the New York Knicks.
It is not the New York Knicks.
Oh, Tom would be so upset, man, if I thought it was Melo. New York Knicks.
Ty, Chris Richard.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Chris Richard. Pistons?
Not the Pistons. Matt, Kirk Snyder.
Kirk Snyder.
Just sounds like the most generic name I've ever read. Kirk Snyder. Like
I'm fairly confident you're making people up now.
Is he white with brown hair?
Yeah, 5'9", white with brown hair.
let's go with Chris Bouchard. Let's go with the Kings. Sacramento Kings.
Not the Kings. Noah, Craig Smith.
Honestly, I know you're not, but it sounds like you created like a generic NBA 2K draft class. And I have no idea. Like, I kind of pride myself on knowing a little bit of NBA history, but I have no idea.
This like, one's
shot
tough.
In the dark. Is it the 76ers? Did somebody already say them?
No,
not the 76ers. Nobody said
okay,
that
I'll
yet.
Go with the Sixers.
Paul, this is the first name I think might start to give it away. Randy Foy.
Oh.
Yeah, but Randy Foy played on so many different teams.
look, but I gave you the year.
That doesn't help.
It should. Paul, disappointed in you, as usual.
I will say the Minnesota Timberwolves.
It is the Minnesota Timberwolves.
There you go.
Nice job, Paul. Ty, can you name who the leader in two-point shots was in 2007-2008 off the Minnesota Timberwolves?
I'm going to say Kevin Garnett.
Not Garnett. He was a Celtic that year. Mac, can you name it?
All right, that's what I thought.
It's not easy.
Did the Minnesota Timberwolves even have anybody good on that team? Is that you?
Depends how you define good.
I'm going to go with, can I pass?
Yeah, you can pass, Noah.
Okay, so this is funny, but I actually just read the book Sprawl Ball, and they mentioned Al Jefferson, and I'm pretty sure...
Ooh.
He's on that team because they said he's like in love with the two-point shot. Like analytics hated him, so I got to go with him. I'm pretty sure he was
absolutely.
On the team that year. Like he got
absolutely.
Traded for Kevin
yeah.
Garnett, right?
Al Jefferson, absolutely. That's a great poll. Fantastic. So, guys, I have one more game, but it's up to you because I know we're running on time. So it's up to you if you want to keep playing or not and play a different game or if you want to call it.
Let's keep going. I'm having fun with this.
Yeah, I'm good okay. to go. Yeah, I'm good.
I'm totally good.
So this is a game called Pass the Buck. It's a new game. It's one that we hadn't really done until the last few weeks, but it's one that we're having fun. So basically, I'm going to ask you a trivia question, and you can either answer it or you can pass the buck to somebody else. If you answer it and you get it right, you get a point. If you answer it and you get it wrong, you lose a point. If you pass the buck, then you bet on whether or not they can get it right. If you bet correctly, you get a point. If you bet incorrectly, you lose a point. So if you ask me a question, I might say, I bet Paul gets it wrong, and if Paul gets it right, I lose a point, but if Paul gets it wrong, I get one. Does that make sense? Basically, you're betting. So,
yep.
Let's see here. We'll go Ty, Mac, Noah, Paul in this situation. Some of these are really easy. Some of them are not. They are all Spurs related. So, Ty, what college did Tim Duncan go to?
Wake Forest.
Wake easy. Forest, absolutely. So Ty gets a point for that. Mac.
Let's go.
Mac, I'm going to give you a bonus point opportunity. This is not your question, and you don't lose a point if you get it wrong. Can you name the last first rounder out of Wake Forest? This is not a spur.
Oh, they were just drafted.
2017.
Yeah.
And if anybody else can name it, feel free to shout it out. John Collins. John Collins was the last one.
I think, yeah.
Oh, John Collins.
Yeah. John Collins. All right. So, Mac, name one of the teams Becky Hammon made an all-star as a WNBA player.
So she
made an all-star with two different teams. Name one of them.
I think she. I think it was with the Silver Spurs. Or
yes.
Sorry, the San Antonio team.
Yeah, I gave you that. I knew what you meant. The Stars, yes, the Stars.
Yes,
Ty,
the stars.
Can you
can
name
I,
the other
can
one
Can I get
by
a bonus point
for
naming
bonus?
The other one?
Yeah.
I guess the New York Liberty.
Yes, the Liberty, absolutely, yeah. For a bonus.
Yep.
All right, Noah, what rank did David Robinson attain in the Navy?
Oh, man. I bet whoever's in front of me doesn't know, because I have no idea. I really don't
know.
So
you can bet whoever. You can name who you're betting on.
Who's close to me in the leaderboard? Or am I am I at the top or in the middle?
Yeah, you have five. McIntyre tied with four each. So it's close. And by the way, the person you asked doesn't – by the way, the person you bet on can't lose a point. They can only gain. So.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, okay. So then I guess I bet that – I bet Mac doesn't know. I bet Mac doesn't know because he won't lose a point and I'll gain a point, right? If he's wrong, I get a point.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Mac.
Okay. Yeah. Ouch. I guess I bet Mac doesn't know because I sure don't. I have no idea.
Okay.
Holy moly. That hurts.
Mac, what rank did David Robinson attain in the Navy?
But joke's on you because I know. It's lieutenant.
No.
it is lieutenant. No. Fantastic. So Noah loses a point. Mac gets a point, and Mac is in the lead. All right.
Dang, let's go.
Paul, David Robinson is one of only six players to record 70 or more points in a single game. Can you name one of the other five?
Yeah, very easily, but I'm going to make Ty answer it, and he's going to get it right.
Ty is going to get it right.
I am.
All right.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Wilt Chamberlain is correct. So Ty gets a point. Paul gets a point. Mac, can you name another one for a bonus?
Can you repeat the question real quick?
Sure. A player, one of the five other players that aren't David Robinson or Wilt Chamberlain that scored at least 70 in a game.
Let's do.
And you can't lose a point here because these are bonus.
And it's any player, right? It can be any player?
Yep. Any player all time. There's only five other players to have ever done it.
Kobe Bryant. Rest in peace.
Kobe, absolutely. Noah, can you name another one? For a bonus?
It's just 70 or...
70 or more.
It has to be more than 70.
Yep, 70 or more.
Okay, Devin Booker scored 70 a few years ago against Devin Booker Celtics counts. In a loss.
Yep, Devin Booker counts. There are two more. They are really hard. Shout them out if you know them. Otherwise, I'm just going to say them.
I have them, but I want to let the guys guess.
MJ one?
Not MJ. All right, who are they, Paul?
I believe it's Elgin Baylor.
That's correct. And the other one is someone I don't know who he is.
The other one is the Skywalker, David Thompson.
It is David Thompson, absolutely. All right.
Nice.
So let's see. Here. So we went. So it's Ty's turn, I believe, right? Ty, Mac, Noah, Paul. Ty, what's Manu Ginobili's actual first name?
Emmanuel.
That's correct. Absolutely fantastic. Mac, how many championships have the Spurs won?
Let's see. That's hard.
I don't think he knows it.
I don't know that one. Just look, give me five.
Five, yes, absolutely. Noah, what was the original name of the Spurs prior to moving to San Antonio?
The Dallas Chaparrals?
Absolutely, good. Noah, they briefly had a different name but never played a game under that name before being called the Spurs. Do you know what that name was for a bonus?
Were they the Virginia Squires?
Not the Virginia Squires. Not the one I'm thinking of anyway. No, when San Antonio bought them and brought them in, they briefly called them the Gunslingers. But before they ever played a game, they changed it to the Spurs.
Wow.
So a little piece of trivia there. Paul, what famous Spur was nicknamed the Iceman?
Oh, George Gervin.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Finger roll.
George Gervin. Mm-hmm. Ty, how old is Tony Parker right now?
Right now, today.
Today, right now.
Give me the exact hour.
I'm going to pass this to Paul.
And is Paul going to get it right or wrong?
Oh, Tony Parker.
I'm going to say wrong.
I'm definitely going to get it wrong unless I guess really well. Do I have to be like accurate down to the month or anything?
No, just the year.
Just the year? Okay, I'm going to guess Tony Parker is younger than me. So I'm going to say he's 37.
Not 37. It's 38. Very close. Ty gets a point.
That was also
but I was like right. He is younger than me. So
I like that you asked me that question because I share a birthday with Tony.
Oh, nice. Nice.
That's cool. That's cheating.
Mac, there are three Spurs Finals MVPs. Can you name one?
The He Who Shall Not Be Named.
Yeah, that's right. He Who Shall Not Be Named. Yeah, 2014. Noah, can you name another one for a bonus?
Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan, absolutely. Can you name the last one, Ty?
Tony Parker.
Tony Parker, absolutely. That was the easy one, guys. Noah, you are 1 point behind. And Ty and Mac are tied at 8. LaMarcus Aldridge signed for how much money when the Spurs got him from Portland in 2015?
Oh, shit. Oh, God.
And you can either give me the total or the per year. Either one. I'm happy either one.
Total or per year? Well, either one. If I get it wrong, do I lose a point?
You do. Or you can bet on somebody else.
Can I? Okay, well, I guess I'll bet on Ty since Ty's ahead of me. Or I guess Max ahead of me, but I already kind of targeted Max. So yeah, I bet Ty doesn't know.
You bet Ty does not know. Ty, do you know how much money LaMarcus Aldridge signed?
I can do it per year?
Either one, per year or total.
Does it have to be average? Because I know those contracts are
average.
Weird.
Average or total, either one.
I'm going to say $22 million per year on average. Around 20 million per year.
20 million per average. So Noah gets a point. And it is all tied up, and there's one more question. Paul is up, but I'm not going to give Paul this opportunity. Mac. No, Ty. It's Ty's turn. Ty, who was Kawhi Leonard traded for after being drafted by the Pacers in 2011?
Oh, wait. He was traded for in the 2011?
Yep.
It's gonna be George Hill.
It is George Hill, and Ty is our winner by 1 point.
Hey. Yeah,
yeah, let's go.
That was good.
After Colin Sexton robbed me earlier.
9-8-8 was the final score. Guys, thank you so much for letting us come and play the games. I have fun. I hope you guys had fun with them too. Hope I made them Spursy enough.
No, that was great. Absolutely, it was a great time.
Great time. Where can they find? Where can they find you guys once again?
So
we're on
you
Twitter
can find
at
us,
Even yeah. Odds Podcast. I got you, Brandon.
Thank you very much.
We're on Twitter at Even Odds Podcast. We're on Instagram at Even Odds Podcast. You can find us anywhere you find your podcasts: Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Anchor, a whole bunch of them. If you give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, it helps people across the world find us, which is always appreciated. Guys, thank you so much for having us on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. That was a blast. Like, that was really fun, and it was close, which made it even better.
Wait, so who was the overall winner? I think I missed that.
Oh, tied by 1 point.
Now you guys are going to give him such a big head. We're never going to hear the end of this until the next time. Jesus.
Hey, I'm just proud because I suck at trivia, and for once, I'm good at trivia for one day. So I'm going to be taking this, and I'm going to be running with it.
I'll tell you what. You run with it, and then we'll run this back on our podcast in a while, in a few months.
All right.
We'll let you soak in the victory, and then we'll do it, you know, for a full hour.
I'm just going to run. I'm just going to tell them to boot up Call of Duty or Rocket League.
I am trash at every other game, so again, I'm good at something for once, and I will take it. I'm going to be taking back the reins. That's it for the At the Line podcast crossover episode. Again, get them at, where can they find you guys, just one more time, on social media?
Even Odds Podcast.
On Even Odds Podcast, make sure to check them out. You can check us out on Twitter at The Line Pod. Make sure to check out the At The Line show as well on Twitter for all of the post-game shows after every single Spurs game this season. Noah, where can they follow you and all your lovely content?
Yes, you can find my words at Pounding the Rock. You can see my tweets at @N_Magaro, M-A-G-A-R-O. And if you're listening to the At The Line podcast, then you already know where to find us for our At The Line podcast.
Mac, where can they find you?
Yeah, I don't have any words, but you can definitely find my tweets at Mac Pena.
And you can find all of my content at The Ty Yeager, or you can check out the San Antonio Spurs Zone, News for San Antonio, and Fox 29. But for the equal... I'm sorry, Paul and Brandon. What was your podcast?
Even Odds Podcast.
Even I would say Equal Odds. I don't know why. But for the Even Odds Podcast and for the At The Line crew, we'll see you guys next time.